On any given school day, students may be dealing with an onslaught of academic responsibilities, social and family issues, and internal anxieties that are not visibly evident. The mental health of students rose to national attention during the COVID pandemic, and now schools are paying closer attention and providing on-site professional assistance for students in need. Joining the exchange to help us learn more about the importance of school-based mental health professionals is Fran Pearson. She's the School-Based Mental Health Program and Policy Coordinator with the Oregon Health Authority. Welcome, Fran.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Also joining the conversation is Jana DuBose, a licensed clinical social worker and therapist at Mazama High School in Klamath. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So, Jana, that's correct. You're at Mazama High School in Klamath Falls?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Fran, let's start at the 30,000-foot level. Tell me about the problem you're addressing statewide.
So what we're trying to address with this program is the fact that students and families in rural areas are often miles and miles away from mental health services. They often have transportation barriers, economic barriers. And so what we're trying to do with this program, the whole goal, is to increase and broaden mental health access and services to students and families.
Okay, well, tell me about the program itself.
Sure. So currently, actually, the legislature supports funding across 16 counties with 14 community mental health programs, serving 88 schools across rural Oregon right now, rural and frontier counties, at about $2.5 million per year. And so what the program looks like on a day-to-day basis is there are partnerships between these agencies and their local schools and districts to have their clinical staff and sometimes their skills trainers come into the school and work alongside the school counselors, school social workers, and provide mental health services and supports. And that could look like therapy, individual, group, potentially even family therapy, and maybe skills group to help with like anger management, healthy relationships, and that sort of thing.
Okay, so Jana, help me understand what the challenge looks like at the ground level on a school campus.
Yeah, as a school-based therapist, it really, it involves a blend of direct therapy sessions, collaboration, administrative tasks, crisis interventions, de-escalating conflicts, and really helping to provide co-regulation to students, to get them stabilized and regulated and able to return to the classroom and ultimately their education.
Well, when you say return to the classroom, what's the behavior that causes disruption and forced out of the classroom?
I think that, we've had a significant increase in mental health struggles with our students, whether that is, anxiety, depression, all kinds of forms of psychological distress, whether that is, it's educational stress or it's more system family stressors that are happening. Klamath County as a whole has had significant, youth suicide rates. And so we're dealing with a lot of mental health struggles, but having school-based services embedded into the schools really helps to kind of respond. We have a unique position to respond to those immediate crises. Like quick on-site intervention can really help prevent these situations from escalating to, a more intense need, whether that's through the emergency department. So it's really helping to provide immediate support and connecting students to appropriate resources and ongoing care.
When you talk about suicide rates, give me an understanding of what that data looks like. Is this something new, or Has this been ongoing? Is it escalating? Is it steady? What's the data say?
It's been ongoing. I think that as a community, that we've really had a lot of collaboration around this. There's a You Matter to Klamath coalition that has done a significant amount of work around these prevention issues.
Okay, we're talking prevention, but I'm trying to get a sense of the problem itself. Is there some data? Fran, do you have data statewide that says, here's what the suicide rate looks like now, and here's what it looked like a decade ago? What are we dealing with here?
So I don't have that specific data in front of me, but what I can say is that I think these services are largely preventative. We know that there is a lot of the data that I have seen is disproportionately affecting LGBTQ plus youth, students of color. In terms of, and when I say I've seen the data, what I mean by that, I guess, is that that we know that many of those students are the ones that are either seeking services or asking for help or being referred to these programs because there are other helping professionals in the school building that are wanting them to get support. And so I think even before, we talk about suicide, I think that there is a large number of youth and young people in the state that they don't have trusted adults that they can talk to or feel safe with. And so these services being in the school can help provide them supports and really build protective factors that we know reduce suicidal ideation and attempts. And so those protective factors like belonging, connectedness, students feeling more like they want to attend school and be there, social emotional competence and feeling better about themselves, I think is what is key and is important. And it's really early intervention too, as Jana said before. A lot of these rural counties and areas and communities are already overburdened. Their hospital systems and their crisis systems are already overburdened. And so by these programs and services being there at the school, a lot of these services can help reduce the need for a student to go to an emergency department for a suicide assessment or to be hospitalized.
My guests are Fran Pearson, a school-based mental health program and policy coordinator with the Oregon Health Authority, and Jana Dubose, a licensed clinical social worker and therapist at Mazama High School in Klamath. We're talking about the work of school-based mental health professionals. So what I'm hearing is that there are unique challenges that are disproportionately facing LGBTQ kids and kids of color in these rural regions. Why? Jana?
Well, I think, in rural areas, there's always going to be unique challenges when it comes to mental health, including limited access. And those resources are compounded by higher rates of poverty and substance abuse and isolation and transportation challenges or barriers. And I think in marginalized communities, that's even another compounding factor. So school-based mental health services really addresses these challenges to those barriers to care. By ensuring that all students, regardless of their background or location, really have the opportunity to thrive both academically and emotionally.
Well, that's certainly admirable. But a lot of the things that you mentioned are universal to the kids that are living in those regions. Why are the disproportionate number of kids of LGBTQ and kids of color seeking out your services?
In a lot of ways, it's part of the convenience to families, but in rural areas, like the transportation barriers and the geographic isolation, really for any rural student, is, you know, part of the barriers that we're trying to address. But it's also about even stigma or, you know, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was agreeing with you, Jenna.
Sorry, yeah, I was like, I wasn't sure if I interrupted somebody. You know, having therapy available in the school reduces that stigma by really making it easier for students and families to access the care in a more familiar and supportive environment. And so, you know, it reduces the fear of judgment. It becomes easier for students to access the support when it's available. And students feel more comfortable seeking from a therapist within the school if they already have a warm handoff or a familiar, trusted adult that is encouraging that, and whether that's a guidance counselor or a teacher or principal. And it really, I've had multiple students requesting services because of a peer or friend that is in services and has encouraged them to do it. And so there's also this word of mouth and kind of peer referral trend that is happening even within those populations.
And how are parents involved in the process, if at all? Do they even know?
That varies. And so there are definitely some families that are, you know, as a whole are involved. I think the unique, you know, stance in Oregon is the ability for a youth at the age of 14 to engage in services without parental consent. So for the parents that maybe do not support these services, we do have that available. We do encourage the support because it's a family system. If we can get a hold of the family system in some way and provide the necessary support needed, I think it creates better outcomes. So there is some family support in it, but it also is about connecting those families to resources. You know, having it in the schools really eliminates those barriers that families may face, especially in rural areas, in the sense of, you know, taking time off work to bring a kiddo to a appointment, transportation issues. And so having them on site at school removes those barriers for the family.
So, Fran, how do you train school-based mental health counselors? What prerequisites do they need, and how long does it take?
That is a great question. So the school-based mental health therapists, they have training in clinical services. They're all master's level clinicians, therapists. So they've graduated from an accredited program such as a school of social work or mental health counseling. And then the skills trainers are what we, they're typically bachelor's level or what we call qualified mental health associates.
Okay.
And I think I would just add that the specific training, I think for a lot of folks, it's there at the school, on the job, if you will. I think that there are more universities and colleges that have specific courses and areas of focus in terms of a clinician working under the auspices of an educational system in a school building. I think it takes a very special, unique individual and team, as Jana and her folks work down there in teams of the therapists and the skills trainers. But it takes special folks to be flexible with schedules and to work in that unique environment providing those services.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you, Fran and Jana, for joining the exchange today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guests were Fran Pearson, a school-based mental health program and policy coordinator with the Oregon Health Authority, and Jana DuBose, a licensed clinical social worker and therapist at Mazama High School in Klamath Falls. I'm Mike Green.